Hello everybody, welcome back. Good evening. This week is Parshas Shmini, and it's also Parshas HaChodesh. And we are going to begin Hilchos Pesach. This is going to be part one. This week, our topic is going to be Pesach products, medications, and toiletries. We'll try to give a little understanding in how that works and how to approach buying those products and keeping those products. And next week, hopefully, we'll talk about cleaning for Pesach and then preparing for the Seder. So let's first try to understand a little bit about Pesach product. What exactly does kosher le-Pesach mean, kosher for Passover, and what is required? And then we'll understand also the need for lists for medications and toiletries. So first and foremost, the very most important thing that everybody needs to know is that when you're shopping in the Pesach aisle, it is crucial to check that indeed every product that you're buying is kosher for Passover, is kosher le-Pesach. The grocery and the meshkichim, every community, every grocery, do their best to ensure that what's in there is only Pesach products, but mistakes happen, and they inevitably happen, year after year, every single year, there's always something. And some years back, we personally, this happened to us, we bought a number of pie crusts, and there was like a stack of them, we had bought a bunch, and the tap two, let's say, we checked, they said kosher le-Pesach on it, but then the bottom two were not kosher le-Pesach, they were chametz. And luckily we caught it, but if some other people had not. So if you don't catch it and then you use those on Pesach, you not only make your food treif, you make your utensils treif and your dishes treif, and you can't kasher on Pesach. The only thing you can really do is self-clean an oven. It's bad. So that is number one. First and foremost, you really have to check each item to ensure that it is indeed kosher le-Pesach. So moving on, which products actually need to be kosher le-Pesach? So it's important to distinguish, first of all, between halacha and practice, because there are many minhagim regarding kashrus on Pesach. There are, and a lot of them are personal minhagim for different families. Some families won't eat anything that's been processed. They'll eat raw fruit, but nothing that's been processed. And they'll make their own mayonnaise, they'll make their own orange juice, and so on and so forth. And one can argue that many of these customs came from times in the past when nothing was available with a decent texture. My mother, she should be well, tells me that in Europe you could not get oil that's kosher le-Pesach. It was canola oil only, which is kidneys. So they had to make for Pesach their own oil, which they made from rendering chicken fat. Yum, right? So there was no such thing as frying eggs with cheese on Pesach. They were fleishigs. You were fleishig all day. So anyway, but that may have been the reason, but regardless, doesn't make a difference. People continue the custom as they did, and it's very praiseworthy. The Rush famously says regarding Minhagim when it comes to Pesach, he's talking about cleaning for Pesach, the people scrub their walls, they scratch their windows, and he says it's not halachically required, but Yisrael Kedoshim Heim, the Jews are holy, and they seek to do above and beyond the letter of the law, and that is definitely true when it comes for Kashrus on Pesach. A person can be machmir, and even if it's beyond what halacha requires, it's praiseworthy and it demonstrates Yirat Shamayim. Now, that being said, that's the reason why you'll find many products in the Pesach aisle which maybe do not even require Passover certification, but they have it because they want to be available for a wider group of people who would only eat it if it has certification. Now, the point over here is that there are things that don't require Pesach certification, but it's never simple, and let me explain. For example, pure granulated sugar, right? So really, pure granulated sugar should not require Pesach certification. However, powdered sugar or confectioner's sugar does require a Pesach certification. Why? Because they mix into the powdered sugar cornstarch, and in some places, mostly overseas, they mix wheat starch in, which is chametz, in order that it shouldn't clump up. So, you may know that full 100% sugar doesn't require Pesach certification, but it would be important to know that this is a distinction, that powdered sugar is different. If you look on the package, I'm pretty sure it says in the ingredients that there is cornstarch in it, but you would need to know to check, to think that it's not 100% sugar. Now, as a result, though, that the companies produce the powdered sugar and they put starch in it, there is a transference sometimes where they would sometimes put it back into the sugar or the same machines are used, whatever it is, there is a possibility of that starch getting back into the regular granulated sugar. Now, if it's just kitneous, like cornstarch, that's not a problem. It's batel. Kitneous is very lenient when it gets mixed into other things. It's batel. You don't even require shishim 60. But if it's chametz, like wheat starch, that would be a problem. And that is why, we'll see soon, it's not, you don't really need to, but that's why it's not, like I said, nothing is simple. You do need to research and just to make sure that this thing is doesn't require Passover certification, but that's why it would be praiseworthy to nonetheless buy one with a hashgacha to avoid any of these questions. Bottom line is that in the States, it seems like none of the companies here use wheat starch in any of their production, so you're pretty safe with pure granulated sugar that it doesn't require a hechsher, and that is true, it does not require a hechsher. You could buy pure granulated sugar without a kosher lepesach, but again, being that there is this possibility, it is definitely praiseworthy to buy it kosher lepesach, but it's not necessary. But another good example is coffee, right? So pure ground coffee, not instant coffee, ground coffee, that without, as long as it doesn't have a flavor, that's kosher lepesach. That actually is kosher lepesach. You don't really have to use, you don't have to buy one with a sticker. It's kosher without certification. But decaffeinated coffee is not. Decaffeinated coffee it goes through a process. They use chametz or kitneous in the process of decaffeinating it, and that's an issue. And instant coffee, there's a distinction between two processes. There's freeze-dried and spray-dried. You can tell the difference, actually, between the two kinds, that one is more powdery. The spray-dried is more powdery, and the freeze-dried is like more like granules. Think Taster's Choice, where there's actual like pieces. That's freeze-dried. So freeze-dried is no problem, but the spray-dried does use something in the process, which is chametz. Again, that would be questionable. Not necessarily chametz, but it's a question, and that's why it would require Pesach certification. So again, it requires a certain degree of knowledge that your product, even though it may seem like it's 100% product, it's not necessarily that it doesn't require Pesach certification. So you don't have to feel guilty, certainly, for buying everything with a Pesach Hashgacha. It's definitely praiseworthy and it's simpler. But if you do a little research and you consult the lists that are available, there are good resources available online, you can find out with some clarity what it is that you don't need to have a Kashrut Pesach on. Moving on to non-food products. So non-food products, almost without fail, do not require Pesach certification. They're almost always fine for one reason or another. There have been somewhat of an accumulation, I would say, of chumis over the recent years, like the first sheet of the paper towels having some cornstarch on it and this and that and the next thing. These are chumris, so again, it's nice if you want to take them on, but for the most part, by and large, a non-food item you don't really have to worry about. When I say non-food item, I'm not talking about shampoos and medications, I'm talking about like, you know, paper plates and for aluminum pans and stuff like that. Cleaning agents also, you don't need to worry about those for the most part, about chametz. Now, moving on to shampoos, soaps, and creams, the best approach, obviously, is just to find your product on a list. Now, this isn't always easy or possible because it's not possible for the lists to be really comprehensive. You wouldn't believe the amount of variety that exists and is not within the ability of any Rav to go through them all comprehensively. Now, that having been said, it is fairly easy for a Rav who is familiar with ingredients to discern whether a product has an issue or not. I can do a quick scan and tell you for the most part if it's a question of chametz or not. And even for a layman, I can give you a little bit of an idea how to do it. It is within reach. A person can check their products, at least the shampoos and soaps. I will talk about medications in a minute, but the shampoos and soaps, you can really do the checking yourself. Let me give you an idea. Here's the ingredient list of Pert Plus shampoo, right? Very common shampoo. So it's water, there's ammonium laureth sulfate, there's ammonium laurel sulfate, glycol, distyriate, dimethicone, cetyl alcohol, cocamide, mia, so on and so forth, right? So of all those, all the complicated names, you don't need to be concerned about, actually. None of them are ever a problem. It says, when it says alcohol, that's when you can start getting concerned. But it'll always say what kind of alcohol it is. Now, alcohol is just a generic term. It just means a derivative of something. So if it says acetyl alcohol, so you can go and Google that. You know, you just type it in and Google what is acetyl alcohol made of, and it'll tell you. And it's not made out of wheat, and it's not made out of oats. If it's made out of corn, it's fine in terms of shampoos. So it's not that difficult. And then you have these huge, long names like hydroxypropyl trimonium chloride. Those are not going to be an issue. So basically, all you're going to be paying attention to is something that seems recognizable as possible chumas, like alcohol. There's acetyl alcohol here, there's benzyl alcohol here, there's citric acid. Google them, and you will see very quickly whether that is a problem or not. And of the long list of ingredients, there's usually only one or two at most that you even have to bother Googling. So that's one way to find out. If it just says alcohol without describing what kind of alcohol it is, which sometimes you have that, like in baby wipes, then it's possible that it's a problem, even though the majority are usually not chametz, but that would not be, that you should juice, unless you can ascertain, that you can find on the list, because there the Rabbanim had called up the company to see what kind of alcohol they use. Now, another thing to be aware of, that there are many shampoos that have actual chametz in their ingredients. For example, a very popular shampoo brand called Aveeno, A-V-E-E-N-O, they make a product called Scalp Soothing Hair Care, Apple and Cider Vinegar Blend. Doesn't sound chametzic at all, right? Apple cider vinegar. It doesn't sound like there's any problem, but it looks innocuous. And you look at the ingredients, the very first ingredient is colloidal oatmeal extract, okay? That's not good, right? If it says oatmeal extract, you can assume there's probably a problem here, and there is. So that's something to keep your eye out for as well. There will be a number more products than you would think that actually have on the ingredient list something that says oats or oatmeal or something in extract or starch. So that's a way to go through this process. But you can also ask a rabbi. You can ask me. The best way to ask me about this or about medications is to send me an email with the name of the medication, the brand name, the company name that makes it. Always says it, which company makes it. And if you can take a picture of the ingredient list, that's even better, with the inactive ingredients. But I can usually find it online, what the ingredients are, and then we can check. See, medications is a whole different thing. Medications is a little bit more complicated. You need more experience to recognize the ingredients. There are more ingredients there that can be an issue. So there you should try to find it on a list or consult with a rav. So this basic an idea to understand how it works with products and with soaps and with creams and so on and so forth on Pesach. A person should be machmer. It's a very accepted minig and chumrah, very widespread to be machmer on these things. I know you will see in different websites, different kashrus organizations even saying that you don't need to be machmer on these kind of things, but it's really not, I would say it's pretty much a widespread accepted practice in Klal Yisrael to be machmer and to only use things that don't have an issue of chametz, and you do that by, like I said, consulting the list and making sure your products don't have chametz in them.